You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together. Hi, everyone. This is Helen.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Tracy
from MomTalk.ca. If you listened in on our Mums and Fitness podcast, you will know that time is one of the biggest hurdles we mums are up against. With so much to do, many of us are reaching out to convenience to make up for lost time. And when it comes to healthy eating, convenience usually comes in the form of processed foods, whether they are served at home or through the window of your local drive-through. Of course, poor eating habits are not always related to mealtime. Many of us are able to pull off a healthy dinner, but we eat too much between meals, nibbling on sweets and high-fat foods. So to continue on with our move towards a healthier lifestyle, we thought food would make a great stopping point. Okay, so Kara and Tracy, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being a healthy eater, where would you say your eating habits lie?
I would say that I'm probably a 5. I'm not a very good eater. Health-wise, I try and get my vegetables and fruits in, but I'm what you call a super taster. I have lots of taste buds. So I find that a lot of foods are overpowering to my taste buds. So like certain fruits and things I find are almost sour to me. So I'm trying to get more fruits in by the way of like making smoothies and fresh smoothies in the morning, things like that. So I'm trying. I'm not the best eater, but I'm not the worst.
How about you, Tracy?
I would have to say I'm about a 6. That's for meals. When we're talking about snacks, I would rate at probably a 1 or 2. We love vegetables. I'm great at getting healthy meals prepared, and I'm great at eating really good healthy meals, but it's the snacking that I have a problem with.
Well, I definitely am sitting somewhere in the middle also. I have moments where I'm pushing up towards like an 8, but generally I sit somewhere in the middle. And actually, I think that my way of eating has changed so much since I've become a mom. One of the biggest changes is I eat so fast, and I don't even think I need to eat fast anymore, although there are nights where we're in a bit of a rush. But I think when the kids were little, I learned how to eat fast just so I could actually eat, because it just seemed like I was always having to run to do something. And it might be in my own making, but I definitely have become a really fast, really fast eater.
Yeah, I have that same problem, Helen, and but it's always been around. Even before I was a mom, I was a fast eater, and I think I inherited that from my father, who seemed to always want to eat quickly so then he could finish everyone else's food.
Well, Kara, when you said you're a super taster, I look at it in a totally different thing. I'm a super taster. Like, I like to taste everything.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, and you know what? I love food. I mean, I love flavors. I love any kind of food, any ethnic food. You put anything on the table, I will eat almost anything. And that is really terrible because it's just like I want to eat. And sometimes I also have, I'm not as bad now, but I have fallen into that diet mentality in the past where like you're, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be really good this week. And then as soon as I go off, it's like, okay, well, I'm off. I may as well make it worth my while. So, and I think that's how I've got to where I am today. So even though I'm sitting at a 5, I really, really want to push myself, and not just for myself, but for my family as well, because I do most of the meal planning in our house. And I think that I have to, you know, take some responsibility for some of our poor choices since I'm the one who's bringing them into the house. How about you guys? Do you find that you'll go out shopping and you'll bring stuff home, you know, probably isn't the healthiest, and then you'll wonder why you guys are not eating very healthy?
I definitely am responsible for that in my house because I do all of the grocery shopping. I don't allow Andrew to do the grocery shopping because we come back with a lot more snacks and a lot more processed and frozen meals because he was used to being a bachelor for so many years that, you know, that was the quickest, easiest way for him. So I find that I'm getting better. I'm not bringing home as many frozen foods and things, but I find sometimes I just need a quick meal at lunchtime, and, you know, buying one of those little Michelin frozen dinners, I am guilty of that.
Yeah. You know, I think we've talked about this in past episodes where if we just take the time to do an extra batch of something when we're making like shepherd's pie or lasagna, then we'll have things in the freezer that are not as processed as, say, buying something in the freezer. And even if we always making that extra batch for a meal, even making individual so that you do have some kind of food in the fridge for lunch or a quick meal for yourself if you're looking for that. At least that frozen meal wouldn't be full of all kinds of sodium and bad fats. What about snacks? Tracy, you said that on the scale 1 to 10 that you were doing pretty good except for the snacks. Is that because you really like snacks that aren't that healthy or just because it just happens to be what everyone has out?
It just happens to be what I like. And for us, we unfortunately live very close to stores. So and anything basically that you want is just around the corner, including the Dairy Queen. So I may not bring food in the house, but at 9 o'clock at night, my husband might say, oh, I'm going out to Dairy Queen. Can I get you anything? I mean, it's really hard to say no. So that's often how food creeps into our house.
In the form of snacks. I'm a chip snacker.
Yeah. I don't necessarily buy bags of chips, boxes of cookies. I really try not to do that, but it just somehow creeps in. Usually it's in the form of someone just getting in the car later on at night and going to pick something up.
See, I find I'm a sucker for sales, and if something is a really good sale, if it's a snack, I don't like to buy them when they're full price, so I may stock up and buy 3 or 4 bags of chips when they're on sale. So then that means that they're in the house even longer than if I just bought one when it was full price.
Right.
I find that that's a weakness of mine as well.
Yeah, I almost think that whatever is not good for us is also not good for our families. So like potato chips being one of them. I almost think that we just need to make a decision about what snacks we will allow ourselves to have. I don't think it's a good idea to completely eliminate everything. But I think if there are foods that you can't control yourself with, it's probably a good idea not to bring them in the house, even if they are on sale. I'm a big follower of Bob Green, Oprah's trainer. I don't know if he's still her trainer, but he's come out with a few books over the last few years. And his most recent one, The Best Life Diet, kind of continues on with the one that was out prior to that. And I'm not doing this right now, but I'm thinking about redoing it. He has this one rule in his approach, and that is to stop eating at least 2 hours before you go to bed. And a few years ago, I did this for a month, and I stopped eating at 7 o'clock. No matter what, I wouldn't eat anything after 7 o'clock. I was amazed at how much better I felt going to bed. I didn't have a full stomach, basically. And it also completely curbed all of that nighttime snacking, because when I sit down, if I'm sitting down watching TV with my husband, it's like, oh, okay, what should we eat? And you don't really need to eat because you're probably not hungry. You just want to eat.
And it's those commercials, too, subliminally telling you that you need to have something snacky and tasty and fast foody.
Yeah. So for me, definitely stopping eating is, it's kind of like I'm an all or nothing person. So that works really well for me. For my husband, that does not work. He likes to have something. So I think actually having some healthy but tasty snacks available is probably a good idea. And I've actually just started two things, and one is in my fridge and one is in my pantry. And in my fridge, I have a basket, and I have some snacks in there that are all relatively healthy, fruits and hummus and stuff like that. I did all portion control, so at least when you grab it, and it's good for me, but it's also good for the kids. So when they come home from school, it's like, if you want a snack, that's the basket. And then I did the same thing in the pantry. So if you do like potato chips, even portioning them out means that you're kind of controlling how much you're eating, because, you know, if you start watching TV or you're on your computer and your hand is going in and out of that bag, it's pretty soon where you go, oh, who ate all those potato chips? I think just having snacks available will make a big difference.
My husband he's a big snacker, but he's a pretty healthy snacker. He always has whole grain tortilla chips. And there's a new kind, actually, that Shoppers Drug Mart sells. It's their Life brand, and they have flax seeds in them as well.
Mm.
So every night of life, he has salsa and tortilla chips or some sort of carrots with a dip. And those are his snacky things, and I wish I could take after him.
Yeah, I see. I love stuff like that, but it's just a matter of making sure they're available. And the chips that he eats, is it the baked ones or just the regular ones?
They're regular ones, but they are whole grain.
Okay.
And there's some that have flax seeds as well in them. And he really, really likes them a lot. I took him a little bit to convince him that he should try them. I actually urged him because I knew how much he was eating of the regular Tostito chips.
Mm-hmm.
And once he tried them and started eating them, he really, really likes them now.
We really like the baked tortilla chips, and there's one that they're kind of like little scoops, and because there are some things that are baked that just like you just taste it and think, okay, they forgot the flavor, but these actually taste really good. And my husband's the same. He loves chips and salsa, and he actually likes sour cream with it too, so we'll buy the non-fat sour cream and he'll have salsa. We often will make our own salsa at the end of the tomato season, but chips and salsa, especially the baked ones, are way better than having, like, say, chips and dip or whatever. And then, like, Kara, with your husband, if he likes carrots and some kind of dip, even like a hummus dip where you're getting a bit of protein, I think, especially if you make it yourself.
Oh, that's a great idea.
My kids really like it, and we'll put roasted red peppers and chickpeas in that and make, like, a red pepper hummus. And I think once your taste buds get used to that, it's really good. And I think you end up eating less because there is a protein, so you do tend to get full. So it makes a great snack. Tracy, I know you have older kids, so do you find that because they are capable of bringing the food home, do you find that they end up bringing stuff home and then you kind of get into their snacks?
Yeah, or I find that I will buy them snacks for the weekend. And not a lot, but, you know, I might buy the odd thing and then I'll get into them that way. Because, you know, if they're having friends over, and my kids do have a lot of friends over, you know, you want to have something for them. But another thing that we go through, the kids make popcorn all the time in the microwave. I'm kind of leery about the nutritional value of that popcorn.
Yeah, especially where there's that recent study that there's some sort of cancer-causing agent in the popcorn.
Is that right?
Yeah, this something to do with the scent that's in there.
Really?
And it can coat your lungs and cause problems.
Yeah. Right. Now, I think it would take several containers.
Well, I think, yeah, I think it was something like if you pop popcorn every single day for 10 years, then it could cause problems.
Right.
But,
you know, there are people who do eat microwave popcorn all the time. You know, we have an AirPop popcorn, and I happen to really like AirPop popcorn, but I always think that getting back to basics is the way to go, and we would have to post a question to the Canadian Parents Nutrition Expert to find out, and I will, but I wonder whether or not just popping popcorn in a little bit of oil and adding a little bit of salt, if that's not just better because it's more back to basics,
yeah,
like in its real state.
A little bit of olive oil and yeah, sea salt even.
Yeah, or air pop it and put a little bit of butter on if you want some flavor. And maybe just slowly transition to having not so much stuff on it. But you see all these shakes and stuff like that. And, I mean, they are, you know, made up of a whole lot of additives and preservatives and a lot of sodium. And so I think it's just a matter of training ourselves to get away from that. And, I mean, it doesn't take any more time to pop popcorn than it does to do microwave popcorn.
Oh, it does. I think it does.
Well, because you have to stand there, right?
You've got to stand there, and then, you know, you could burn it, and you've got all the dishes to clean up after.
It's one pot, tree.
I know, but I'm just saying, yeah, I could just imagine letting my kids pop their own popcorn and walking into the kitchen and seeing and melting the butter. And
it is
just...
But that's the way we did it when we were kids.
I know,
yeah.
I know. What's wrong with us?
When we were growing up, our moms had dinner on the table. And it's almost like they were more forward-thinking than we are. It's like we have all this technology, so we've stopped thinking ahead.
Yeah.
And so we buy the popcorn in the microwave container so that we can just throw it in there because we've got other things to do while it's taking the 4 minutes to pop.
Yeah.
Or we don't plan our meals because we're so busy because we know we can run over to McDonald's. Most of us didn't have those conveniences when we were growing up. So our moms didn't really have the option.
Yeah.
And they planned ahead. I think my mom could take almost anything and turn it into a meal, where it's like we have to have all these ingredients.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a lot does come back to just getting back to basics and then also deciding what's really important and picking what's important for your own family. Not necessarily is it going to be the same from one family to the next. And if making popcorn in a pot is a bit of a pain, then maybe you don't do that and you find something else that works for you. Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about today's podcast, visit momtalk.ca. And don't forget to drop by canadianparents.com, where you will find the Shrinking Moms Club, along with support, ideas, and inspiration from the cooking, recipe, and mealtime message boards.